So just the topic of my presentation, as Meg said, is unintentional falls and fall-related injuries among adults with disabilities and adults with mobility difficulties. No personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation to disclose. I do want to acknowledge my co-author in this, Dr. Holly Hackman, who is the injury epidemiologist at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And it's great to have a collaborator like her because she's really involved in the injury world, and I'm very involved in the disability world, so it's a really good sort of marriage, if you will. So the study objective is very simple: documenting the prevalence of unintentional falls and fall-related injuries among a population-based sample of community-dwelling Massachusetts residents with disabilities, as well as with mobility difficulties, and ages 45 and older. And the reason, I just want to put a context, and this really goes very well with what Meg was saying, is that why did we do this study and why did we do it in Massachusetts? And really, it is to inform policy. It is to inform programmatic work that's being done. In Massachusetts, since 2006, there's a Massachusetts Falls Prevention Coalition. And the primary purpose of the coalition was to raise awareness among senior care providers and the public on the effects, the impact of falls, and to really discuss the availability of these successful falls prevention strategies. And it's a coalition with, you know, a wide spectrum of members from healthcare institutions, government agencies, advocacy groups, researchers. The Department of Public Health is very much present there. And they went through a strategic planning process, and from the strategic planning process, the mission and the vision statement is very broad. So it's not about specifically older adults. It's not specifically about the nursing home population. It really is very broad-based, as in it's across the lifespan. So really about preventing falls across the lifespan, which is great, because from the disability perspective, that's what you want. However, when you look at the work that they've done and you look at sort of the emphasis and all of the strategies that they've used, it's very much focused on older adults, very much focused on the senior population. For example, the report that came out, I think it's a 2010 report, is on unintentional fall-related injuries among Massachusetts older adults. So when it actually comes down to the practice piece, even though the mission statement and the vision statement is really broad, when it comes down to the practice piece, it is about older adults with very little mention of disability. And if you, again, going back to Massachusetts, looking at the hospital, the charges for fall-related visits, it's $471 million in 2006. And 90% of this is being paid by public insurance. Again, this is data for older adults, 65 and older. So that's the reason, you know, sort of Holly and I got together and said, you know, what is the best strategy in which we can inform the coalition and inform all the members and kind of, you know, get this to really, the, so that the practice of the coalition is sort of meets their vision and their mission statement. So the first thing is, of course, you look at the literature, you look at what's nationally out there, and, you know, unintentional falls, it's a major cause of injury-related morbidity and mortality. And the literature is very much like most of the literature out there, where disability is the outcome. So it's falls in an older population, you know, or nursing home population, or, you know, however you put it, but the lack of the sort of declining functional status or, you know, disability is always on the other end of the equation. And very few published studies have really looked at the prevalence of falls and fall-related injuries among people with disabilities. When you look at the literature specifically, you see, again, it's sort of diagnosis or disability specific. There's some on a couple of articles on people with Huntington's disease, people with intellectual disease, spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, and some on people who are wheelchair users. And again, almost, you know, and wherever there's a comparison group, you see that, you know, people with these specific conditions tend to have higher rates of falls or fall-related injuries. Dr. Zhang, who's right here, who's going to follow me in the presentation, he's done a lot of, some work on this, and particularly looking at injuries. And, you know, demonstrating that people with activity limitations or people with disabilities are more likely to have injuries, and the injuries are, you know, the primary cause of the injuries is disability. But, you know, we are trying to take exactly that, looking at Massachusetts, but also looking at the prevalence of falls and how many of those falls are actually causing the injury. So really, because, in order to prevent these injuries, you actually have to prevent the falls from occurring first. So the data source, again, is the BRFSS, and this is a very good example of the need for BRFSS data. I wish Vince and Gloria were here, but this is the need for the BRFSS data, because really, in order to inform statewide programmatic efforts and policy efforts, we need this. And we use data from 2006, 2008 to 10. And for those of you who know BRFSS, it's primarily related to when the questions on falls and fall-related injuries were asked. I must put a plug in Massachusetts, we've had disability screeners from 1998. So that was not a problem. So what were the questions on falls? You know, there's two questions. One is, in the past 3 months, how many times have you fallen? The second question related to that was, how many of these falls caused an injury? By an injury, we mean the fall caused you to limit your regular activities for a day or to go see a doctor. And these questions were asked not of the 18-plus, but actually for people who are 45 years and older in Massachusetts. I'm not sure if that's the same nationally. And so from this, we get measures. We get both, if a person had a fall in the last 3 months, and the number of falls, so we get a sense of the average number of falls. We also get, whether the fall actually caused an injury, and how many of these falls actually caused an injury. So I don't want to delve too much into the disability status question, since we spent quite a bit of the morning going into the BRFSS questions. But in Massachusetts, we, apart from the two national the disability core screeners, we also have two other screeners, and we have a fifth question asking whether the health condition or problem lasted for a year or more, or how many actually, the length of the disability, and we, for the screener in Massachusetts, we actually include people who've said yes to a year or more. For better or for worse, that's sort of been the disability screener. Two other questions are asked, and that relates to mobility difficulties, but also to whether they need help from others with routine or personal care needs. So for the disability measures, we have a person who had any disability, a person who needs help with personal or routine care, and who doesn't need help with personal or routine care. The mobility difficulty question, we constructed into sort of four measures here. And it was similar to an article from Lisa Izzoni, where she used NHISD data, and she sort of, came up with similar, measures, where you have major mobility difficulty, moderate, and minor. So major including people who are unable to walk any distance without special equipment or help from others. Moderate are people who are able to walk across a room or length of a house without special equipment or help from others. And minor mobility difficulties are people who can walk one or two blocks without special equipment or help from others. And this is, again, self-reported, obviously. And the fourth was category were people who said they could walk a mile or more without assistance, but also said that they had some other disability. We use basically bivariate and multivariate logistic regression and SAS 9.2. So just looking at the prevalence of disability and mobility difficulty, and there were actually, what I forgot to put, the large N was about 30,000 for the entire 4 years of data. So for 26% of those who are 45 years and older in the BRFSS in Massachusetts reported having a disability. 7.7% of the population reported having what fell into this needs help category. In terms of the mobility difficulty categories, you saw 1.2% said they had a major mobility difficulty, 3.4 said moderate, 4.3 minor, and the rest, which was 17.1, fell into the other disabilities category. When we looked at the prevalence of unintentional falls, again, striking differences here, and with the 25%, so almost one in four are saying that they had a fall in the last 3 months or 35% of, so one in three are saying that they had in the needs help category had a fall in the last 3 months, and 21% of those who didn't need help. With the mobility difficulty category, you see both major and moderate is almost 40% of people had a fall in the last 3 months, and 27% or 28% of people in the minor mobility difficulty category. And this is a slide I actually took out in the last minute, but I should have kept it. It was really about the age distribution, because again, remember, the falls literature is about older adults. It's about the geriatric population. But if you look at it in the disability and you look at the falls, you know, there is no difference in terms of age. You know, people from 45 to 55 and, you know, people from 65 to 75, the rate of falls is the same. So, I mean, that's just I have no idea why I took it out, but I took out that slide. But it's really sort of interesting and really telling in terms of, you know, practice and clinical guidelines that come out of this. Looking at fall-related injuries, we see almost 10% of people with any disability reported having an injury, a fall that resulted in injury. 17% of those who reported in the needs help category. Again, if you look at the mobility difficulty, again, we see almost the difference between the moderate and the major is really not that. It's almost the same. And people with minor mobility difficulties, almost 10%. And people with other disabilities were 7%. Then we looked at, you know, remember I said we could also look at the average number of falls. So how many falls are people having? Again, we can see the average number of falls both for, as well as the second column is for falls and the third column is fall injuries. We see it's really high for people with any disability. Almost they're having three falls in the past 3 months. And in terms of fall injuries, it's almost two. So we don't know if actually, unfortunately, what we don't know is that are these fall injuries actually resulting in them going to the hospital or ER, et cetera. And again, we know that we can't get this data from hospital discharge data either. So when you look at the needs help category, they have an average of three falls in the last 3 months and almost three fall injuries in the last 3 months. With the mobility difficulty categories, it's really striking. So people with major mobility difficulties had an average of almost 7.4 falls in the last 3 months. I mean, that is pretty, you know, is very striking. When you look at fall injuries, again, you're seeing it's you know, three falls led to injuries in the last 3 months. I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to... So, you know, then we sort of took this together and we said, you know, let's just run a few models and seeing, you know, controlling for age, race, ethnicity, sex, education, marital status, and we also controlled for self-reported health and said, you know, were there differences? And, you know, in almost every case we found that there were differences. So in the first, when we looked at any disability versus not having a disability, we found that both in terms of falls and fall-related injuries, people with disabilities were more likely to have an elevated risk. When we looked at the needs help category, we saw it was almost four times more likely than those without disabilities. When we looked at the mobility difficulty category, and here what we did was instead of using the no disability as a reference group, we used other people with other disabilities as a reference group. And what we found were people with major and moderate difficulties were 2.3 times more likely to report unintentional falls and fall-related injuries. So just to summarize, I mean, you know, the data is really, it's quite striking. And so what's also very striking is that almost what you see is that people with almost any mobility difficulty, any mobility limitations are more likely to have, to be at an elevated risk for falls and fall injuries. And what's interesting is because the few papers, and if you look at the larger literature, it's really looking at also people with wheelchair injuries. Wheelchair users are more likely to have an elevated risk for falls. But this, you know, this study actually sort of goes beyond that. It's almost like if you have any mobility issue. So again, we don't know if the people who are reporting having either minor, moderate, or major mobility difficulties, if they actually are using assistive technology. We don't know that. But obviously there is a need to address this population. And so I just want to go and just talk about the implications just for a second, and really saying is what Holly and I are trying to do is sort of follow up with this in terms of, you know, what can we do and how can we actually address what's happening in Massachusetts. But parallel to this effort, what we're also looking at is administrative data on people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. And because, you know, again, this is a set of population, it sort of really complements this work because it's administrative data. It's also people who are not in in the BRFSS, to the, you know, just by the sampling mechanism, and looking at the fall-related injuries among this population, and really sort of going at the larger efforts that's going on in Massachusetts and looking at it both ways, for people with developmental disabilities as well as with people with mobility difficulties and then with people with any difficulties. And hopefully we'll have some luck. Thank you. Okay.